So I just honor the Lord on tonight and in the presence of our pastor and Lady Brown and all the ministers who are absent on tonight. You know, I truly thank God for this opportunity, you know, for me being available to be used by God. Let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Father God, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you so much, Heavenly Father. Lord, I give you the glory, I give you the honor, and I give you the glory. Lord, I bless your name, Lord God, just for being God. Lord, I thank you right now for your people on tonight. Lord, I ask God that you bless them in a mighty way, Lord God. Lord, I thank you right now for what you're going to do in the service. I humble myself before you, Lord God. I decrease so that you can increase in me. Lord, you know what you want to say unto your people, Lord God. Lord, our ears are open to you on tonight. Our hearts and minds are open on tonight. And Lord, we're ready to receive all that you have for us. Lord, I bind up the enemy, his assaults, his tricks, and his tactics. I render him powerless on tonight. I give you glory right now for those that are on the way, Lord God. I thank you right now for breaking every yoke, destroying the yoke of the enemy. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I bind up distractions right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I thank you right now. I give you glory, I give you honor, and I give you praise. Don't let nobody leave, Lord God, without being touched or changed. In your son Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Truly, we've been on this subject of watching what we say. And it was confirmation, you know, when I received it, it was confirmation in my spirit because I had already been, you know, talking about it and trying to change how I look at stuff and trying to change what comes out of my mouth because, you know, all of us at some point have said something we probably should not have said. And it caused, you know, more hurt than harm. So, you know, as believers on tonight, it is very important that we govern our tongue and that we control, you know, the words that come out of our mouth. Because, you know, people are always watching. And they're not only watching what we say. I mean, they're not only watching what we do, but they also watching what we say. You know, the word, he say, sin that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So even if people don't see our works, which they will, if you're a true believer, if I'm a true believer, they're going to see works. But most of the time, our witness come through our mouth. You know, because people don't have to know you to hear you and hear what you're about. So we have to be very careful about the words that come out of our mouths. So as I was meditating, the Lord dropped this in my spirit, James, the 3rd chapter. Because in order to confess, you got to speak. And it's really the talk, you know, what you're talking about. And, you know, sometimes, you know, our words don't always line up with the word of God. And as true Christians, our word must line up with the word because really our life is not our own. My mouth don't belong to me. It's a part of me, but it don't belong to me. My mouth really belongs to God. My hands belong to God. My whole body, mind, soul, spirit belongs to God. So God wants all of us, but our witness is in our mouth. That's what he's been dealing with me about because, you know, on these jobs, not everybody's saved. Don't everybody believe like you believe. And he say, if the word, if God's word is hidden, it's hidden to those that are lost. And how do you get lost? He say, how can you heal without a preacher? So that means the words that coming out of our mouth got to edify. It got to glorify, it got to magnify, and most importantly, it got to exemplify the true word of God, you know, because we can't witness of ourselves. Jesus said he came to do the work of his Father that sent him. And all of us are believers. So we come to do the work of our Father that is sending us. So James, I don't want to do the whole thing. I just want to go to verse 8, 9, and 10, those three verses. And I want to elaborate right there because the tongue is so small. But yet, I was asking God, I was like, out of all the words you could give inspiration on, you said tame. And when I think about tame, I don't know why my mind went to like an animal trainer. You know, how you have to tame a lion. So our tongue is so unruly until we gotta tame it. So, you know, James was talking, you know, and most of his books talk about how we as believers need to grow. You know, he don't talk about one specific thing. Everything that he talks about is for the growth of the believer. So in this particular chapter, he allows us to see that the tongue got a very crucial part in our development and in our growth, and also how the world see him through us, through our light, through our talk. So in the 8th verse, it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth, that's the verse right there, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So in other words, what he was saying was, out of all the beasts of the field, out of everything that God has made in terms of animals and in terms of human being, the tongue, which is the smallest thing in our body, is the most untamable. It's not impossible, but he said that's one that got to be tamed. We got to practice what we say before we say it. Because the only way you're going to tame something, you got to practice over and over and over. When you're training something, it may not come on the first try, but you got to keep practicing. Practice makes perfect. So we got to practice what comes out of our mouth. He said, with the same tongue, you bless God. Hallelujah. You give him glory. You give him praise. But then on the other side, you curse. That don't necessarily mean profanity, because we can spit them out too. But I ain't talking about profanity. I'm talking about blessings and curses. I'm talking about positive things and negative things. You know, how many times we can be thinking positive, saying positive things, then something will just pop up out of nowhere. Like I've been sending out all these texts, and then I receive a nasty text, a nice nasty text from somebody. And only thing that came to my mind was, okay, you've been confessing out of your mouth good things. This is marvelous Monday. This is terrific Tuesday. This is, you know, thankful Thursday, wonderful Wednesday. Then all of a sudden I get a text. So God was like, okay, I'm coming for your words. Are you going to speak positive things? Are you going to let the blessing still flow out of your mouth? Or are you going to turn around on the flip side and curse men? That's what we do. We say, God going to do it. I'm believing God for the house. I'm believing God for the car. I'm believing God for my husband. I'm believing God for this, believing God for that. And then when it don't happen as fast as we think it should happen, then we go to cursing. Well, I don't know if he gonna do it. Wait a minute, this patient have a season, and that's true, it does. But you got to speak those things not. I got to speak those things not as though they were. Blessings and cursing, what the world look at is we seem crazy. Because if a person is talking one way, then next 5 minutes, they're talking another way, you'll be like, uh-uh, that person ain't real. Something wrong with that person. Well, that's how the world look at us. We say, come on over on the Lord's side. There's peace, there's joy, there's happiness on God's side. But then we murmur and complain about the things that we go through. See, our confession is for to build us. It don't alleviate the trials. We still going to have trials and tribulation. I don't care how positive you speak. Tribulation, trials come with naming the name of Christ. Yeah. It's not that God wants us to get our confession right because he don't know where we are. Like David said in Psalms 19 and 14, he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. If what I'm saying don't line up with the word of God, then I don't need to say it. My confession helps me go through what it is I need to go through. It don't alleviate or eliminate me or give me a pass not to go through. It just helps me. Really, it's not what we go through, it's how we go through. It's not how the enemy attack us, it's what we saying back. We supposed to attack him with the word of God. We supposed, when he says something, we supposed to come back with the word. But most of the time, when we don't have words to say, we resort back to our own words. And in our flesh, we known the curse. And I'm not talking about the curse words that we spit out. We know we were born in iniquity, shaped in sin, born in iniquity. So it's our nature when things are not going well to say something negative, to agree with the situation. But God is trying to do something. That's why he's finna get ready and pull something into us. But in order to pull something into us, he got to first get something out of us. And what he's trying to get out of us is the curse. He's trying to get the curse out of us because we can't go any further until he get the cursing out of us. That negativity got to go. As believers, nothing that Jesus went through did he ever curse. And I'm not talking about the curse words. I'm saying something negative. He called things the way they were, the way he saw it in the spirit. That's how he called it. You know, sometimes we say it is what it is, but are we just saying that because it's cliche to say it is what it is, or do we really see that in the spirit? You know, he says, so as a man thinketh, is he. But we had a series on what you think you're going to end up saying. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you feel in a certain kind of way, if you feel defeated, then everything that comes out of your mouth is going to be defeat. If you feel like a believer, and if you feel like you more than a conqueror, then everything that comes out of your mouth gonna line up with a more than a conqueror. So God, in Matthew, around the 9th chapter, and around about the 7th or some verse, it talks about pouring, how can you pour old wine in a new bottle? And vice versa, how can you put new wine in an old bottle? That's the question. So if God is trying to put new wine in us, get our thinking right, because if you're thinking right, your talk ain't going to be right. So if he's trying to put new wine in us, he got to do something with the old bottle. So in order for the blessings to keep flowing, we got to start saying what God say. Everything in the Bible that God went through, and if you look at Matthew, the 4th chapter, that was when God was saying a lot. Jesus was saying a lot, not God. Jesus was saying a lot. and the devil was saying a lot. But what the devil was saying, it contradicted what Jesus was saying and what his word was saying. And I'm talking about when they were in the desert, when he was 40 days being tempted. He didn't say what he wanted to say. He was in his flesh. He was at a weak point. And that's when the enemy get us talking crazy. When we at a weak point in our life. When we don't know which way to turn, he get us talking crazy. Instead of just standing still. If I can't speak the word, if I don't know the word, then I don't need to say nothing. I just need to let the enemy talk. Because you never know what a fool, how you never know who a fool is or what a fool is until they open up their mouth. Yeah. The enemy don't know what you got until you let him know, okay, she ain't got no word. She don't know the word. He don't know you don't know the word until you open up your mouth and prove that you don't know the word. But in Matthew, the 4th chapter, everything the enemy came with Jesus with was something that he need. And that's how he fight us. You get on a need, you're going to say anything. You're going to do anything to get the need met. But it goes back to James 3:10. We can't, just because we're in a need, we just can't blurt anything out of our mouth. We got to say what the word say. He said, I already know you ain't thinking about me. In Isaiah, he said, my thoughts are not your thought. I already know you're not thinking about me. I already know you don't see my way working through your way. He said, but you got to learn how to trust my word. You can't trust you. You can't trust your words. You got to trust the word. So he didn't even argue with the enemy. He said, it is written. Everything that the enemy said, he said, it is written. So in other words, if we want our words to come out right, we got to have some word in us to come out right. So we got to control, and the only way we can control what comes out of our mouth, by what's in us. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. Teach me your laws, your precepts. I'm just like you. I'm just like anybody else. I get off the wrong track and start saying negative. Do negative things make some happen? No. Only thing makes something happen is faith in the word of God. So we got to tame this little monster. I'm going to call it a little monster on the inside of us. We got to tame this little tongue. And we can't say any and everything out of our mouth. Even if it looks hopeless, we don't agree with the enemy. We don't say, yeah, you're right, high five, it's hopeless. Even if it looks bad, we don't say, high five, you're right, it's bad. We're supposed to be saying what the word say. Faith is not what we see. It's not what we see. And I've noticed since I've been I've really been on an effort to try to change my thinking, especially when it comes to my job. And I've been seeing a difference. You know, when I come in, you know, and I'm looking at the situation, I'm looking at these fifth graders, and I'm saying, you know, you're defiant, you're bad, you this, you that. That's all that I get. That's all that I get. But when I start saying, speaking into their life and saying something different, then they stop. So I'm like, this really works. And I've been doing it. When they look for me to I talk soft. When they look for me to say something negative, I'm going to write you up. I don't say that. I say, step on outside the door. I say, I'm not trying to teach the Bible, but let me pray for you. Let me lay my hands on you. Then sometime when I want to say, let me get my purse, I go to speaking in tongues. These are my tongue. I'm not saying they need to do it. I'm not teaching them to do it. But I just go to speaking in tongue. And I notice the atmosphere has changed. I notice the heart. And people see the change. They see the change. Because every year for about the last 3 years, I've been saying this is my last year. And I've been speaking it by faith. This is my last year. I'm not coming back. I don't have to deal with this. I don't have to do this. But you know what? When I start changing my confession, If God got me in it, he got me in it for a reason. But I couldn't see it because I was saying my own word, these bad children, ratchet parents, you know, just talking negative. Just talking negative. And all I got was negative. All I got was negativity. You know, Proverbs 18 and 21 talks about the power of life and death in the tongue. And again, I don't want to confuse you and make you think if I talk positive all the days of my life, I'm not going to go through anything. That's not true. You're still going to go through, but you got to still talk positive. No matter what it look like, no matter what it feel like, you got to still think positive. You got to still let positive things flow out of your mouth and not negative things. Because the enemy comes for our word, and when we let in that little pinhole, it get bigger and bigger. Negativity is like it's something that creeps on you. You don't even know it's there. It's like a subliminal. You don't even know. You don't even realize you have said something negative because we so programmed and so routine until it's just a natural response. You don't even know you have said something negative. I sure don't want to go to work tomorrow. That's just casual talk. It don't sound negative, does it? No. Oh, Lord, these bad children. Oh, my head is killing me. I mean, it's negative, but we don't even know we're talking negative. Right. But the enemy know. Yeah. He said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So if he can get in that little small little seed, our thoughts are like seeds that are in our brain. And what we speak out of our mouth is the fruit thereof. So if we speak life over a dead situation, then guess what? We're going to reap the fruit of life. But if we speak death, which is negativity, that'll kill. Have you ever been happy all day and somebody come and rain on your parade? You know what you felt like, right? That's what negativity does. It robs us of our joy, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Yeah. So I can have a joy party all by myself, and so can you. Because now my mind is like what David said. I'm trying to program my mouth to speak things that's going to be acceptable in God's sight. Mm-hmm. And the only way I can do it, I got to stay right there. I can't deviate from the plan. No matter if I don't get an amen, no matter if I don't get a high five, I can't deviate from the plan. Who best know how much joy you have other than what they see? Nobody. But there's an old saying, misery loves company. Yeah. When you happy going into a job full of hatred and ratchet people, they looking for you to act just like them. They're looking for you to behave like them. But as believers, we are the light of the world. We the salt, so we the one giving season. Yeah. So what are we speaking? What are we saying? You know, me and my boss, you know, she's not the best boss. And we didn't get along at one point. Because just like Pastor said, oil and water is not going to mix. We had a Christmas party at the job, and all you could think about was sex toys. That was the whole basis of the Christmas party. So I said, I'm in the wrong party. You know, I wasn't trying to be negative, but it seemed like I was negative, but I was out of place. So I told her, I say, you know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But if you've been talking about change and you want the morale to change and you want to click with all of your employees, well, everybody don't believe in Dirty Santa, you know. So my thing would have been to appease everybody. Let's just have a regular Christmas party, don't you think? So now me and her at one point was like clashing. I would always say, hey, Dr. Curry, how you doing? But because I made that statement, you know, she didn't understand me. And plus I told her, I say, you know, really, I don't trust you. I could have been out of line to say that. But this is what happened. One boy in my room pushed me. So she called the Fairfield Police Department. She called the superintendent. And I told her, I said, this could have been handled without all these people. Why you calling all these people? I can see if he blacked my eye and I blacked his eye, then you should have called the police. So I say, you know, I said, I don't like your spirit. I don't trust you because I said you're not right. But I said it before I knew it. That was that flesh side of me because I was bagged up against the wall. So I retaliated by saying what I felt. And I told her I was crying. I said, I'm telling you this to your face. I don't trust you. And that was wrong. So you know what? I had to humble back down. And I had to go to her. And I had to make it right. I said, you know what? I was wrong. Even though I felt that way about you, I was wrong to come to you and tell you I don't trust you. This whole thing is a setup, and I feel like you set me up. I shouldn't even said that. So we was like, I won't say at all, but I ain't fooled with her. Every part after that, I just didn't come because I already knew what it was going to be about. But you know what? I felt bad when I found out she wasn't coming back. She's not coming back next year. But I thank God that I went to her and I say, I thank you for putting up with me. I thank you for putting up with me as I have put up with you. But I wish you well. But it takes a God in me to recognize, okay, your words were wrong, your actions were wrong. Now can you make it right? Can you reverse the curse? Can you turn a cursed thing into a blessed thing? So that was like breaking the ice. Yeah. So now we had better terms. You know, we can genuinely smile at each other. But I had to go to her. How many times, you know, David, I know I like this scripture in Psalms 119 and 26. David talks about, he said, I declare my sins. And he said, confession is made good of the soul. Now, we've been talking about what we're saying out of our mouth. It's good to confess because it helps for the soul. It helps your mind. You know when you ain't been speaking right, when you ain't been doing right. Ain't nobody got to tell you. Ain't nobody got to prophesy over you. You know when you have not done right. Yeah. So when you free yourself, when you free your mind with the words that come out of your mouth, it frees you. It frees your thoughts. So I went to her. It freed me from all that negativity. You can't witness to somebody you at odds with. How? How you gonna witness to somebody you don't like? Jesus could. He could witness to somebody he didn't like because he didn't look at them in the flesh. He looked at them in the spirit. The scribes and the Pharisees hated God, but everywhere he went, they was there. Because you can't deny the anointing. You cannot like a person, but you can't deny the anointing that's operating through the people. But we got to be approachable. And the only way the people are going to know that God is living through us is by what we say, by how we act, by what comes out of our mouth. So God wants us to get empty. We got to die to ourselves. Got to be able to deny ourselves. Then we can take up our cross and follow him. And I never understood what Pastor was saying until now. Until we start learning how to love people. God ain't using us. And I told Pastor the scenario about my boss. And he was telling me, she ain't going to be there long. And I was like, I don't know about that, Pastor. But little did I know because she was gung-ho on staying. She said, I'm going to be here when everything else is failed. But he told me. He said, I said, I ain't coming back. He said, don't quit your job. Don't quit. And I thank God he said that because when I changed my confession, everything around me changed. Now I feel like I can hold on 8 more years. That's all I need. Now I feel like I can hold on 8 more years. But I was finna turn it loose because of what I was speaking out of my mouth. My principal ratchet. She the sickest thing up here and keep up more hell than anybody. That's what I'm telling Pastor. She just make me sick. She get on my nerves. Those weren't right. That weren't right. So he was like, you got to change how you looking at your job. I ain't even see it as God gave me the job. I said, I ain't seek God about it. I said, I'm going to become a teacher. So I felt like since I did it, then I can undo it. But he was like, you ain't there on your own. That's a ministry. I didn't see my job as no ministry. I really didn't. I didn't see it. I see this as a ministry, but I ain't see my job as a ministry. He said, you got to minister to those kids. I'm like, minister to those kids? All I could see was defiant, don't want to learn. And these are things I spoke out of my mouth. Defiant, don't want to learn. But I had to change it. And if I had to change it, we all got to change how we look at things. You know, a lot of things have transpired, you know, especially in relationships. When you got somebody not on the same page with you, you liable to say anything out of your mouth. And you ain't even trying to see whether or not it's God. Because unity brings about harmony. And in relationships, that is very important, what we speak out of our mouth about our spouses and our better half and our friends or fiancés or however you want to call it. Because when whatever you say, that's the seed you plant. And it's, and I'm transparent. I don't know how many times I have sat there and say, you know what, Pastor, I was wrong. I didn't do this and that in my marriage. I was wrong. So it's not just for the unbelievers. We got to learn how to speak good things about our children, our mates. So what? They not on the same page. They yours. They your demons. they your bad kids. They your that's your bad husband. They yours. So what we gonna do with it? Are we gonna die in negativity? Are we gonna speak life? Or are we gonna keep speaking death? We keep speaking death, but we want God to bring life. We want them to fix it, but out of our mouth, we keep speaking, it ain't going to work. This ain't going to work. Divorce, because I know I'm guilty. Everybody, in the drop of a hat, divorce, divorce, divorce. I'm going to divorce. I'm going to divorce. That's all. That was a song. I'm going to divorce. Or get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. That's all I can say, get out, instead of dealing with some stuff. I ain't got to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. Get out. But is that God's will? What if everybody said, get out? But yet it stood, I was real pretty at the altar, and I took them vows, and I said, for sickness and in hell. See, I could have made my own vows, Roshan. But I said what I thought was traditionally to say. In sickness. That's why I understand now why people write their own vows. Because you're going to be held accountable for every word that come out of your mouth. And it sounds good in sickness and in health. It sounds good for richer or poor. Then when the man ain't got no job, can't provide for you, you ready to get a divorce. But these are the words that you said, because that was one of the things that broke mine up. I don't know about the poor. You ain't got no money. You ain't got no money, uh-uh. So we got to be careful. Instead of making my own vows, I stood up there and I said those vows. Instead of saying, I got some vows I want to say. I don't want to say these because I can't be tried in these. So I'm going to make my own. So we are what we think. He says, so as a man thinketh, so is he. And we judge by what we say. So we need to change our words and start speaking positive. That's why I'm the first partaker. What I'm saying to you, I'm saying to myself. That's why I've been sending them out. As Lord give it to me, I've been sending them out. And it ain't returning void. It's producing. Amen. It's producing because I'm getting help. When I minister to you, I minister to myself. So if James said, you know, this is an unruly poison, meaning if it can get out of control. I have said some stuff out of my mouth. I was like, oh, wow, did you hear that, Lord? Did I really say that? I mean, you talking about like a sailor got off a ship? I mean, my mom was like, I'm finna go and pray. I couldn't even believe it. I'm like, wow, I didn't even know I could say cuss words like that. I was cussing like a sailor. I had got so mad, hadn't been in my word, hadn't prayed in a couple of days. And somebody said something really, 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 really that vexed my soul down in my spirit. And I say that blankety, blank, 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 blank. And I couldn't believe it. And I broke down and started crying. I say, oh, my God. All of this is stemming from anger. You that mad? Until you spend now, what about the blessings of God? Make it rich and add if no sorrow. I took matters in my own hand. So I can equate with James. And I think James been there too. Because in order to talk about it, you got to have lived it. So he been there too. But I didn't know I had all that cursing in me. I really didn't. I have thought of curse words, but I was like, no, saved people don't talk like this. And I never knew, you know, what you think. That's like a fertile ground, your thoughts. And instead of pulling them down, I'm like cussing in my head. Well, God know my thoughts. And he say, you got to get that up out of you. So when I started spinning them out, even RJ, he was like, oh, my God. He started praying. He was like, my mama just cussed. Wow. And it was bad cuss words. He went and prayed because he had never seen me act like that. Because I cussed him out. And he had never seen me act like that. So I understand what James was saying. If you let it be unruly, it will be. If you let it get out of control, it will be out of control. So, in other words, he's saying everything you think, even if it's wrong, you don't have to say it. You in control of what comes out of your mouth. You can tame this beast that's on the inside of you. But how you're going to tame it is up to you. It's in the word of God. It's being purged. That's why I like David so much. Even though David did a lot of things, God loved David. He called David, not Paul, not Peter, but David. He said, you the apple of my eye. Because God likes when you can confess your wrong, when you can admit it, and when you can quit it. He liked that. When he say confess your faults, it ain't that he don't know. It's so we can recognize how fragile and how wretched we are. See, I had to recognize in that moment when I was slanging them, I say, oh, God, help me. Help me, Lord. The struggle is real. Help me. I need help if I curse. What else down in here that I don't know about? That one thing and set it off. He said your tongue sets off the course of nature. He's not talking about sex in that aspect. He's talking about, you know, a forest fire most of the time it's started by a little flick. It sets on the course of nature. So he said in the hidden part, that thing that don't nobody else know. He said, that's where I want to be, in that part. I want that. And I didn't know that cursing was in there. But it was in there. How did it get in there? Hearing. Can't then get in your spirit that you have not heard. It can't get in your spirit if you haven't heard it. I don't care if you heard it one time. It can't get in your spirit. So we got to govern what comes out of our mouth by what we allow to get in our spirit. And even when the thoughts are not so accurate, we got to cast them down. He said casting down every evil imagination and bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ, and having in all of us a readiness to revenge all disobedient. Everything that goes against the word of God is disobedience. So to avenge all disobedience with obedience. He was only a prayer away. When I repented and I turned and I did the flip side, started speaking in my heavenly language. And so asking the Lord to help me, purge me, creating me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. Help me to talk right. Help me to think right. Help me to do right. See, we think, just because we didn't say it, we are right. We all around my base is covered. No. Even though you didn't say it, if you thought it, you got to pull it down. You got to tell it to go to the dark place. Because if you don't, it's a seed that's waiting to blossom. So we got to send it back to the pits of hell. Everything that's not like God. We think we safe because nobody knows my thoughts. They don't know what I'm thinking until I say it. But what you say started with a thought. So we got to get the thinking right and we'll get the talking right. So I had to be uprooted. I had to be purged. James said these things ought not to be. If you're a believer, then you need to talk like a believer. That's what he was saying to me. I don't know what he said to you, but in other words, he's saying, if you are a believer, you've been born again, then you need to talk like a believer. Your words need to line up with the word. And you don't need to say anything but the word. He said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. He said, anything else other than that is corruption. And that is so true. When you start elaborating instead of sticking with the question at hand, when you start elaborating, it always ends up to be a big mess. Just let your yea be yea. Say what you mean what you say, point blank, period, in a discussion. Can't nothing else come out of that. My yes is yes and my no is no. Can anything else come out of that? No. So God wants us to be mindful of what comes out of our mouth. And I'm so happy that I am free, that I am saved, that I am delivered. And I'm so glad I text somebody, I forgot who it was. But I say, you know what? Life is good. I'm like, I'm not existing anymore. But I'm living. And that's a blessing. Because we go through life just existing, instead of living in it. And I've been one, just existing, on my way to heaven. Ain't really going nowhere, but on my way to heaven. He wants us to live. It's about winning souls. And knowing you winning souls. It's a bad thing. Somebody walk up to you like, you know what, I'm still saved. You remember that sermon you preached? And I don't remember nothing. I can't even tell you. I don't remember. I don't even know what I said to him. But he don't want us to exist. Every word that came out of Jesus' mouth, he knew it because it came from the Father. And he could regurgitate it. I have a memory problem when it comes to ministering to people. I don't know what I'd be saying after that. I don't know. I really don't remember. But God wants us to remember because it's his word. We're supposed to remember what we say to people. We're supposed to remember. So all of that is in line with our thinking. You know, we just can't be rattling off the mouth. Now I understand what Pastor be saying when he say, she don't even know what she just said. I probably don't. Sometimes I do remember, but sometimes I really don't remember. I really don't. He be like, you remember you said this? I be like, no, I don't remember. So back to the subject. Confession, what we confess out of our mouth, it really can hurt us. It can help us or it can hurt us. And it really can be a situation of life or death. life or death. It really can be, literally. So we need to be careful what we say. I hope that it was a thought or something said that evoked change, you know, because if you're not changing people, then your words are not effective. If your words didn't make, if God, somebody ministering to you and you ain't thought about nothing but what you want to do, then the word was of null and void. Now, it don't mean everybody gonna get a thought, because some people, they ain't thinking about getting no thought. Their mind ain't on it. But if something was said, something should be said in our lives every day to evoke change and to make people want to change or to enlighten somebody. You might not can change them, but you can be like, wow, I didn't know that. So every day, as a believer, we supposed to bring about change in somebody's life. Whether it's a thought, whether it's an action, whether it's a great deed, we're supposed to evoke change. So let our confession line up with the word, and let's go ahead and speak life and stop speaking negativity and death, because like the word of God says, death and life lies in your tongue, in my tongue, in our tongue. So let's go ahead and produce life. I thank you. And at this time, we're going to call the ushers up to come and do the offering.